Good evening. Like Bert, I did not stay up all night to compose this. I managed to pull it from my archives. Apparently I last brought this message in May 2009. I think many of you weren't here then, so at least some people will be hearing it for the first time. The topic of the message is Jesus, the bread of life, based on John 6, verses 22 to 71. And before we read that, let's ask God's blessing on His Word. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to be together in your name. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Pray that you bless the message to our hearts. Thank you for this opportunity you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. John 6, verses 22 to 71. Previous to this, Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, not including women and children, with the five loaves and the two fish, and then sent the disciples back across the lake while he stayed behind and prayed, and then came walking on the water towards the boat, and now it's the next day. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread before the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, excuse me, lost my spot a moment. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. We live in a bit of an unusual time. For thousands of years, humanity has grown grain and ground it to make bread, a staple food for most people. Today, you might find some who turn up their noses at bread. Too many carbs, you may hear them say. In our overly abundant times, we have so much and are so well fed, we have to cut back on one of the staple foods of life. In the passage we are focusing on, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. The previous day, he had fed thousands of people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. We read in John 6, verses 14 and 15, that they were about to make Jesus their king for this miraculous multiplication of food. Just think, no one would ever be hungry again if Jesus was in charge. But Jesus withdraws from them. He did not come to be their earthly king, providing for all their physical needs, such as food and good health. Our greatest need is spiritual health, not physical health. To be healthy and full for hundreds of years in a sinful, broken world under this dominion of Satan would be futile. To rejoice in the freedom we have in Christ with a hope in an eternal future free from the ravages of sin is immeasurably greater. And that is what Jesus Christ came to give us. The tension in the passage we just read is between the physical and the spiritual. The Jews are stuck in trying to understand the miracle and Jesus' words from an earthly viewpoint, whereas Jesus is trying to get them to see the bigger picture, the one where God has much bigger plans for his people than just taking care of their hunger and physical health. In verse 25, they already show their limitations as they try to figure out how Jesus got to Capernaum, since they hadn't seen him get into the boat with the disciples. In verse 26 and 27, Jesus chides them gently for their focus on the physical. He does not tell them how he got there, for that may well have only reinforced their conception of him as a miracle worker who would make a wonderful leader, without pointing them to his greater purpose. Miracles give evidence of authority and serve to authenticate the credentials of the one who does them. This is the seal that Jesus speaks of in verse 27. Just as Moses performed miracles in Pharaoh's court, and Elijah called fire down from heaven to consume the soaking wet sacrifice on Mount Carmel, Jesus' miracles served to confirm that he was indeed sent from God and spoke with authority from God. As Nicodemus says to Jesus in John 3, verse 2, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." In verse 28, again, the Jews try to fit it all in a physical box and ask Jesus about the human works that can be done to earn God's favor. Jesus points to belief in himself as the only work necessary. Notice that Jesus calls it a work of God, because faith is only possible through the work of God in our hearts. The Jews ask for a sign that they can pin their beliefs on. Somehow, feeding thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fish was not good enough. Apparently, they want something more, like a 40-year supply of miraculous food, like the manna their forefathers ate in the desert. Jesus reminds the Jews that it was God who sent the manna, not Moses. And God also sent someone, that is Jesus, to give life to the world. This perks up the Jews' interest. If they can get that bread of life always, that would be even better than 40 years of manna. You can tell they're still thinking of their stomachs and not their hearts. Then Jesus says the first of 7 I am statements found in the Gospel of John. In verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," followed by a summary of the gospel. The bread of life is the sustenance that gives life, eternal life, not just temporal life as the manna did. Coming to Jesus, identifying with him in his life and death, is the only way to be part of his eternal resurrected life. He came from heaven to do his Father's business, not to do his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. Unlike his hearers then, and we who read it now, Jesus did not live to please himself, but to carry out his Father's will, which he did perfectly, at great cost. Those whom God chose to be the objects of his special love, he preserves as an inheritance for his beloved Son. As sinners, our lives are forfeit to the one who created us, who we rebelled against. But God, in his mercy, has set apart those whom he willed, and will see that they persevere to the end and are raised to everlasting life on the last day. As Matthew Hendrickson states in his commentary on this passage, "Scripture teaches a counsel that cannot be changed, a calling that cannot be revoked, an inheritance that cannot be defiled, a foundation that cannot be shaken, a seal that cannot be broken, and a life that cannot perish." When Jesus was finished summarizing his ministries, the Jews object to his claim of coming from heaven. They presume to know his parentage. Jesus does not directly answer their objection, but instead repeats the point that the Father is drawing people to him, and that those people will be raised on the last day. The perseverance of the saints is affirmed here. That's in verses 39, 40, and 44. Quoting from Isaiah 54, verse 13, in verse 45, Jesus proceeds to teach how the bread of life is superior to the manna their forefathers ate, and identifies himself as the living bread. The Jews again trip over the literal words of Jesus and miss the spiritual meaning. They're trying to figure out why Jesus is talking about cannibalism. In verses 53 to 58, Jesus doesn't seem eager to clarify, but rather reinforces what he has said by repetition, resulting in his followers complaining that they can't figure out what Jesus must be talking about. We shouldn't be too condescending as we think how ignorant they were. We live on this side of the Lord's Supper meal, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We know that on the cross his body was broken like bread and his blood poured out like wine. They couldn't comprehend that when the Messiah came, he would come to die. In verse 63 to 65, Jesus tells them that he was speaking spiritual truths and that only those who have been given spiritual discernment by God can understand. Many of his followers are also concentrating on the spiritual, on the physical meaning rather than spiritual. Their unbelief makes it impossible for them to have the required spiritual understanding. As a result, many turn back from following Jesus. Jesus then asked the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Followed by a profession of faith. In life's confusions, in life's unanswered questions, in life's trials and sorrows, to whom shall we go? There is no one else. There is nowhere else where we can find hope and a future. So let us feed on Jesus. Let's not starve ourselves spiritually. Just as we need daily food for our bodies, we need spiritual nourishment for our souls. Spend time in prayer each day. Read the Bible each day. Meditate upon God's work in creation, God's work in your life, and God's work on the cross. Just as we participate physically in the Lord's Supper, taking in the bread and the wine, so too we must participate spiritually in our relationship to Christ, who has the words of eternal life. Let me close by cautioning you about at least two errors we need to watch out for. Don't create a false dichotomy between the physical and the spiritual. Physical bread is not bad. The material things and practical things of this world are not bad. We need them. That is why Jesus can use them to point to something that is at least as necessary. As Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be yours as well." It's a matter of focus. Let's not lose sight of Jesus in the cares and concerns of life. Let us rather lay those needs at his feet and trust in him to provide all we need for this life and the next. Secondly, let's also not misread the gospel and think it means health and wealth for all who believe. Let's not be like the Jews who looked to Jesus as someone who could fill their stomachs or take care of their health issues or settle their disputes. He came to offer us much more than that. Let us find our sustenance and hope in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for the eternal life we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you did not condemn us, but instead you redeemed us, that you provided spiritual life for us, for our dead souls. Thank you that you also provide our daily needs in food and clothing and shelter. Help us, Lord, to honor you daily with our lives. Help us to feed ourselves spiritually in your word, in our worship with fellow brothers and sisters that we have in you. Sanctify us by your Spirit. May we be more and more like Jesus, reflecting your love to the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.